Chazor zeichen es bach gas shrag mit mir sagt gut und darf auf hey sagt der mischna what's tar for an earthenware keli is tummy for all other keli what's tar for all other keli is tummy for an earthenware keli sagt du mal a brisa says if tuma is placed into the internal airspace of an earthenware keli the keli becomes tummy but if a tuma only touches the outside of the earthenware keli the keli remains tar with regard to all other keli if tuma is placed into the internal airspace of the keli remains tar. But if the tuma touches even the outside of the keli becomes tummy. The result is, what's tar in the case of earthenware keli is tummy in the case of other keli. What's tar in the case of other keli is tummy in the case of earthenware keli. A brisa explains the source for these halachas. The pasuk regarding an earthenware keli into which a sheretz has fallen says toichoi, which teaches that it makes the keli tummy even if it didn't touch the keli but was merely in its internal airspace. Maybe the pasuk should be understood as teaching that the sheretz has to enter the keli and touch the keli in order to make it tummy. Rabbi Yonison ben Avtuma said the word toichoi is written in regard to an earthenware keli making food tummy. And in regard to an earthenware keli becoming tummy. Just like an earthenware keli can make the food tummy without actually touching the food, so to an earthenware keli can become tummy without actually having the sheretz touch it. How do we know that food can become tummy without actually touching the earthenware keli? Rabbi Yonison said the pasuk says kol, everything that's in an earthenware keli becomes tummy. And this teaches that even if it's filled with tiny mustard seeds, they would all become tummy. This is so even though only the outer layer of seeds actually touch the keli. We see that anything within the airspace becomes tummy. We should dash in the kal v'chomer and say that if all other keli which don't become tummy from tuma in the airspace still become tummy when tuma touches them on the outside, then an earthenware keli which does become tummy through its airspace should definitely become tummy when touched by tuma on its outside. And for the Gemara, the pasuk regarding an earthenware keli says that it becomes tummy when it's not covered. This teaches that if it is covered, it will not become tummy, which shows that it does not become tummy from being touched with tuma on the outside. And say that if earthenware keli which don't become tummy from tuma touching their outside still become tummy when tuma enters their airspace, then other keli which do become tummy when through tuma touching their outside should definitely become tummy when tuma enters their airspace. And for the Gemara, the pasuk regarding an earthenware keli says toichai its inside. So, which teaches that only the inside airspace of an earthenware kelim can become tummy in this way, but this type of tumma would not apply to the airspace of other kelim. Fekmar, we already used the word toichai for another drasha. Fekmar, the pasuk says toichai twice, which allows for four drashas, like toich, toichai, toich, toichai. One is to teach the halacha that food within the earthenware kelim becomes tummy. One is for Xer Shava to teach that when a sheretz is lowered into the airspace of an earthenware keli, it makes the keli tummy even without touching it. One is to teach that this halacha is only for earthenware kelim, and that last one is to teach that something that's in a keli within the airspace, that's in a keli with that this keli itself is within the airspace of an earthenware keli, that does not become tameh even if this inside keli is of the type that could become tameh, that could become tar in a mikvah. For the Gemara, we should say that all other kelim do not become tummy when touched on the outside, rather only when actually touched on the inside, based on Kav HaChayim. If earthenware kelim which become tummy from tumma in their airspace don't become tummy when touched on the outside, then other kelim which do not become tummy from tumma in the airspace should definitely not become tummy when touched with tumma on the outside. And for the Gemara, the pasuk regarding earthenware kelim says tummy who? Which teaches that it's only the earthenware kelim that remains tar when touched by the tumma on the outside, but other kelim would become tummy. Zok, the next Mishnah, what's tar in the case of wooden kelim is tummy in the case of metal kelim, what's tar in the case of metal kelim is tummy in the case of wooden kelim. Zok Nimar, a brisa says unfinished wooden kelim are tummy, meaning they could become tummy, but wooden kelim that are flat, they have no receptacle, are tar, they cannot become tummy. Unfinished metal kelim are tar, but metal kelim that are flat are tummy. The result is, what's tar in the case of wooden kelim is tummy in the case of metal kelim, what's tar in the case of metal kelim is tummy in the case of wooden kelim. The following are examples of unfinished wooden kelim. A wooden keli that has not yet been polished, or that has not yet had its decorative ornaments put on, or that has not yet been smooth, or has not yet had its decorative carvings done, has not yet been smooth with the skin of a tunus fish, or if it's missing its base, its rim, or its handle. All these could become tummy. However, if it has not yet been hollowed out, it's tar. The Mara says, if it was not hollowed out, it's obvious that it's tar. The Mara says, the case is, that it's only partially hollowed out and can hold less than the intended amount for this keli once it's finished. The Brisa continues, the following are examples of unfinished metal kelim. Any metal keli that still needs to be filed, or that has not yet had decorative ornaments put on, or has not yet been smooth, or has not yet had its decorative carvings done, or has not yet been hit with a hammer to straighten its dents, and if it's missing its base, its rim, or its handle, it's tar. If it's missing its cover, it's tummy. Why is that wooden kelim missing the decorative ornaments are considered to be complete and that can become tummy, but metal kelim missing their ornaments are not? Riechen said metal kelim are made to give honor, and without these ornaments they cannot achieve its purpose. Rav Nachman says because without the ornaments the metal kelim cannot reach its full value. The nafkemina would be in regard to a keli made of bone. They're expensive, but they're not made to give honor. In fact, we find Rav Nachman says that kelim of bone are treated like metal kelim. In fact, this would suggest that kelim of bone can become tameh. Mara says, yeah, it's correct. The Brisa says this as well. Zok, the next Mishnah, what's subject to Truma and Meiser in regard to bitter almonds will be Potter in regard to the sweet almonds. What's subject to Truma and Meiser in regard to the sweet almonds will be Potter in regard to the bitter almonds. Zok, Mara, Brisa says, with regard to bitter almonds, small ones are Chayiv in Truma and Meiser, and large ones are not. They're not considered to be edible at this stage. With regard to sweet almonds, the large ones are Chayiv, small ones are not. The Rishmol, the son of Rabbi Yossi, in the name of his father, said, small almonds of either type are Potter. Others say that he said that the large almonds of either type are Chayiv. Rabbi Law said, Rabbi Chanina Paskin and Sipari like the view that he said that the small almonds of either type are potter. According to the view that he said that the large ones of both types are chayiv, what are the large bitter almonds fit for that make them chayiv? And for the Rabbi Yochanan said they're considered edible because they could be sweetened by roasting them.